104.7 KFGO. Thomas Fox is producing, and it's a pleasure to have with us. He's been a longtime guest to this show and been on with Hennessy on Hockey, of course, Wednesday nights many times as well. Was up in my home stomping grounds of Bemidji State last week, broadcasting for Flow, and you've heard his voice many, many times calling play-by-play on very different places as far as hockey is concerned. That's Ben Holden. Ben, it's so good to catch you. Man, if I would have known that you were going to be up there, I'd have went back to the Sanford Arena and caught a little hockey with you. Great to hear that you went to Bemidji State. That picture that you put on Facebook of you and, you know, Paul with Paul Bunyan and Babe, that was great. I'm sure your friends back home in Michigan love that.
Yeah, no, it's good to talk with you, Derek. I always enjoyed chatting with you, and thanks for having me on. Yeah, it was, you know, it's funny about that picture. So, you know, I'm a bit of a coffee snob, and I'm putting that mildly as I wink. And, you know, Pat Micheletti drove me to and from. I flew from Detroit to the cities, and Pat, you know, chauffeured me up there and back, which helped because I've been on a pretty lengthy trip for the last 4 days. I'm driving back from Indianapolis now. I had a rugby match out of a studio we do the games out of here on Sunday. And so, good week, but a lot of travel. And so we're leaving Dunkin' Donuts, and right there on the lake, and before we went to the rink, and I said, man, we got to find Babe the Blue Ox. And so this guy's on a bike right there at the sidewalk, and I put the window down. I go, hey, where's Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox? He goes, right over there.
I was going to say, you could have walked right over there, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, I was like, Pat's like, are you serious? I go, yeah, I got to get a picture of this thing, man. So that was cool, man. What a great place for hockey, and, you know, all the years I did the NCHC, Derek, you know, one of the big things I loved about that conference was all the schools are hockey schools. And, you know, you could say the exact same thing about the CCHA and, you know, what a great environment. I saw Schlossman put a picture out of the arena and said, hey, you know, this is what regionals would look like. And, you know, I said, I agree, Schloss. It's you know, I know it's another topic, but what a great environment. Tom Ceratori is one of the absolute best dudes that I've ever dealt with anywhere in all my years of hockey. And, you know, they were incredibly hospitable. And, you know, I got to give a shout out to Mike Hastings because I've known Hasty quite a few years through another personal friend, David Quinn, the coach of the Sharks, who I worked with for a couple of years. And Hasty had texted me after the Michigan State Ohio State game I did the week before. And he said, you know, hey, nice job. He was all supportive like he always is. And I told him I was going up there, and he goes, if you go up there, you got to stay in the country and in suites. It's connected to the rink. So thanks for that, Hasty. It was a 20-second walk to the rink. Great setup.
Yeah, it's a nice arena, too. You know, a lot of people here, you know, we're the home of UND hockey here. And, of course, for many years, they've done that home one night, go down Highway 2 and do the other night. And I know that, you know, UND fans travel. Like, hey, you know, it's not the Ralph, but for a nice little arena there in a city the size of Midgey, it's just unthinkable. It's almost perfect for that community.
You know what, Derek, I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, Tom, you know, gave us a tour of the arena, you know, prior to the game and all that, and, you know, on our prep day. And, you know, I looked at Micheletti and I was like, man, this is like a miniature Ralph. I mean, it just, I don't know if you've ever been in the back where their offices are, and it's just so well done. And, you know, they got a great program there, as you know, and the fans know. And it's, again, to me, I love going to places like that. They're all hockey towns, and, you know, the hockey's the number one sport. And you know, I enjoy doing the Big Ten, don't get me wrong, but it's that part of those conferences are something that I've always really been drawn to. And, you know, with Tom and his help and his staff and just, you know, their fans we're talking to in the hotel, and, you know, Michigan Tech traveled quite a few, and, you know, they had a good contingent, too. So it was a hell of an environment, for sure. And it was a damn good game, too.
Yeah, my Beavers fell short, but it was a heck of a game. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, Bemidji's grown so much since I went to graduate there in 1996. I mean, there's barely a good restaurant to take a girl to a date to. Now there's everything there. It's unbelievable compared to when I was there. Ben Holden's with us again, a longtime hockey broadcaster, been a friend of the show for many, many years here on Couch Potato Radio. Derek Hansen with you. So the regionals came out, and you and I were kind of chatting on Facebook last night. Holy cow, you're from Michigan, and the whole state's heading down to a little rink in Missouri. I just don't remember a bracket like that. That's a nasty one. That's tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And, you know, it's been, you know, back in 14, Michigan played North Dakota in the regional in Cincinnati. And, you know, Michigan State is, they've had a rebirth like no other program in the country. And, you know, to me, up until the last 2 years, they've been the team in college hockey for a decade where you're like, man, this program just, they've got to get it right. And they really got it right with Adam Nightingale. I mean, Adam's an unbelievable guy, number one, and great coach, great pedigree, and the players bought in. Guys want to play for him, and that was part of why the previous coaches, and I know both guys and like them, and Tom Anastas is a great friend of mine, but it didn't work with Tom. It didn't work with Dan Cole. And, you know, I grew up in Lansing, so I grew up a Michigan State fan. And especially a fan of their hockey program. I idolized Michigan State back in the early and mid-80s when I was a 10-year-old kid more than I idolized the Red Wings. Now, the Red Wings stunk for quite a while in those years, but my allegiance and my love for hockey really was with Michigan State as a kid. And to see them back and where they are, and I think a lot of people, and myself included, you know, I told a couple guys doing radio in Lansing a couple weeks ago, and I said, you know, I think the consensus was really we're going to try another former player, but this time it clearly worked. And I think one of the big differences is Knights had the connection to the development program. He flipped Trey Augustine. He was originally a Michigan commit. He pulled Isaac Howard out of Duluth. He wanted to go there. He's building his team with high-end talent that Michigan State really hasn't had in a long time. And now, conversely, Michigan, it doesn't matter who their coach is, they get high-end talent. We know that in college hockey, whether it was Red, Mel for the years he was there, and now Brandon Arado, they're going to get the high-end skill guys. They always have. They always will. It's Michigan, period. End of story. And, you know, Western Michigan, like Michigan Tech, I got to give them a shout-out. I know they're out east, but of the four Michigan schools, you know, those two programs, this is pretty impressive to me, both are making their third consecutive appearance. And Michigan Tech, they did it the last 2 years as an at-large in the CCHA, which you and I know and hockey people know that is difficult to do. So Pat Birschweiler in Kalamazoo has done an unreal job. He's a great dude. He's a great coach. And Joe Sean, I like Joe a lot. He's a hardworking guy. He's an old-school UP guy. And they got a tough team. I'm not saying they'll beat BC, but if the game's close, look out. If they can hang in there and Pietola can play well, and, you know, the kid's the most, now he's not a kid, he's 24, but if he can hold them in, he's the, of all the statistical categories, if you look at that, he's the best in the country. He's a fifth-year guy, so it's going to be a challenge, but I'm excited as a hockey fan to see all those schools from my state go at it, man.
Ben Holden with us, longtime hockey broadcaster, a friend of the show for many years here on Couch Potato on KFGO, Derek Hansen with you. How do you like, I mean, the skill of, you know, obviously Jackson Blake and, you know, and what North Dakota has with the skill of Michigan? I mean, there's going to be some high-end skating going on Friday night with the Wolverines and the Fighting Hawks. This is going to be crazy. I can't wait for this matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be. And, you know, look, I spent a lot of years going up that way, as you know, and got to know and friends with a lot of North Dakota people. And whether it's in their program from Bradbury down and, you know, former players I still stay in touch with, and, you know, so many fans over the years, I still interact with them a lot on social. And, you know, they've always had a dislike for Michigan, I'll put it that way. You know, and I think some of that stems back from years ago when the regionals were on site and, you know, they had to go to Ann Arbor and this and that. And I mean, you're right, Derek. I think the skill is going to be great. And you look at North Dakota, I mean, I don't know them as well as I know the Big Ten schools, having done that, but I still keep an eye on it from afar. And, you know, it's not their most skilled team overall, but, you know, Brad's got a good group and Blake's a stud. And, I mean, I first saw Reese Gaber in the bubble in Omaha, and I only did a couple Nodak games in that bubble out of the 22 I did. But right away you could see that kid was a gamer. And to me, he's North Dakota hockey. He's everything that those coaches and their staff, they always talk about being, you know, playing Sioux hockey, as they would always tell us. And I love that guy. He's a hard, tough guy to play against. Gets into space, goes to the dirty areas, can do it all. You know, the one interesting thing is Keaton Pearson. You know, he transferred from Michigan, and part of why he transferred to North Dakota, well, there's obvious reasons. If I was in the portal, I'd want to go to North Dakota too if I was leaving a school, for the record. But he didn't want to avoid any awkward matchups or having to play against his friends. Well, guess what? You got to go against your former teammates. So, you know, I think like any game, Derek, it comes down to the goaltending. It didn't sound like Pearson played in the frozen faceoff.
Yeah, he's been dinged up. It's really a mystery because, I mean, just he's been a little dinged up, but they won't say much about it. You know, secretive hockey coaches are about injuries.
Yeah.
So, but no doubt, I mean, he's been playing like Cam Johnson all year, going back to 2016, their last natty. And
80 mile.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, so this is, let's face it, our late great friend Travis Dunn, as you know, would always say you can come down to goalie at this point is what it comes down to. And that's going to be a huge factor coming up Friday night.
Yeah, it is, exactly, no question. And, yeah, I didn't know that much, you know, again, what was going on from following North Dakota from afar. So, you know, you got to figure if he's able to go, he's going to go. And that'll be for me the matchup, because both these teams can score. I mean, I think this game could be a 4-3 type game. I think you're going to see it on the higher end of goals. I think you see over 6 goals in this game because of what you mentioned with guys like Blake and Gaber and some of their other guys they've got, and all the litany of players Michigan has. Although, in the Michigan-Michigan State game on Saturday, Michigan State's fourth line, for the most part, they shut down Brindley and Rutger McGroarty. And that's something to watch. I've done the Spartans a handful of times this year and was around their program a lot last year doing some games and just seeing the build and seeing the depth. And they're the deepest team in the conference. It's not even close. They're legitimately a four-line team, and they have no problem putting their fourth line out there after a goal because they're all just, they know their roles. They've got the Finn, Tommy Manisto, who's on the World Junior team, Tanner Kelly, he's got a bite to him, man. He can score. He's got a really, really strong bite to his game. He'll get in your face. He'll hit. He'll do whatever. Tiernan Shouty's an undersized guy, and he plays that way. He plays with a chip on his shoulder, and he'll take on the biggest guy on the blue line. So I think that's a big thing for State, you know, with them. And, you know, but
that's an interesting matchup.
Yeah,
I think, you know, the heavy, you know, with Western Michigan being the way that they play, you know, they're kind of like, they're like Dean Smith playing four corners almost, right? I mean, that's just, it's going to be, you know, that's going to be an interesting. I can't wait for those games coming up on Friday. Ben Holden with us again, longtime hockey broadcaster, was up in my old neck of the woods, Bemidji State, doing stuff for Flow last week. Let me ask you, anything else that sticks out for you as far as the other regions? I think the Gophers, I kind of like their path, actually, going just 3 hours away. I mean, I think they kind of got a nice draw there sitting at the second seed there.
I agree, Derek. And, you know, Paul Caponigri, who's doing color on that regional, is a good friend of mine. And, you know, Cappy and I talked last night, and I said, hey, you might want to go back and, you know, just for historical sake and watch the Loveland regional 3 years ago. I had that regional with Freddie Fletch, and, you know, we had Minnesota State, and Omaha and Quinnipiac there. And, you know, I think Minnesota won that game off the top of my head. I think it was 6-2. And Brock Faber, to the surprise of nobody, had a monster game. I think he had 4 points. But, you know, Omaha is an interesting team. I mean, they're not going to wow you with anything. But Mike Gabinet, just they're a system-oriented team. They play hard. They're going to do the little things well. But I'm with you. I think for Minnesota, odds are they're going to face Celebrini and BU, right? I mean, unless RIT pulls off a monumental upset, which can happen. I mean, I had your Beavers in 09 when they made the run to the Frozen Four, when they did what they did. So anything's possible. So,
well,
in RIT,
we're talking Holy. Holy Cross is an hour here from that whole thing.
I know. I know that one, too. And, you know, I had Minnesota State in 15 in the regional when RIT beat them, when Minnesota State was the one seed. So you never know. But for Minnesota, though, back to them, I'm with you. I love the path that they have. I think this team, the last couple games, they haven't been as sharp as they can and have been this year. And I know Bob Motzko well enough to know that this is everything to them and their program. And they're going to lose guys. We know that. They've got a couple fifth-year guys. I think they have a good path to do it. They're going to have the advantage with the crowd behind them. It may not be that much in their first game, but certainly if they get by Omaha, which I think they will, you got to figure a lot of Gopher fans are going to make the trek down there. So love their team. A little surprised they didn't beat Michigan, and I know they didn't play great against Penn State. And that's the thing that's hard, and that's the thing that gives some of these other smaller programs or lower seeds that pull off these upsets sometimes, because coaches hate sitting around and they're not playing. And Minnesota's had a lot of time off. I know they played the quarters, but they've had, you know, a game, lost to Michigan. They didn't play this week. They should be primed and ready to go. So I like them coming out of that bracket for sure.
A couple, just two more things for you. I like right now getting out there. And by the way, Omaha's goalie is frustrating the UND the last couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, and of course on Friday,
yeah.
And that's the thing. That's got to be scary for the Gophers. But just how well he's playing. That's because we know how big that is. But I look at the other 2-1 seeds. Denver's getting hot at the right time, and Boston College, I mean, they are obviously been rock solid all year, so it's not going to be easy to get by those two teams, because that when you start playing well here at the end of March, that's what it's all about.
It is, and, you know, I'm glad you brought those two up, because I think I didn't watch the selection show last night. I was doing rugby last night, like I mentioned in our studio in Indy, but, you know, obviously it was all over last night, talking to a couple friends of mine, Cappy, as I mentioned, and other people that are involved in the tournament. And I said, to me, the two that are, how do I put this? The two programs that I feel were a product of having to put seeds that are hosting in that region. Denver having to go across country and play the early game to play UMass, that to me I think Denver's earned a better fate than that, but that's the way it goes. And I think BU is another one because of what we just talked about. Minnesota, they're going to have the advantage. That's almost, to me, could be a road game for BU. So I think those two schools, they're going to come out. They got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, and, you know, maybe feel like they were slighted a little bit. But the cards are dealt, and you got to play with the hand you got. So, I mean, the team out east, Cornell's in that region with Denver. And I've had them a few times in the tournament, the years I've done it. And they're always hard to play against. They always have a good goalie, Mike Schaefer. They're always just solid. They're tight. They're hard to play against. So if Denver can get through that first game against UMass, the host, I think they come out of there. And Boston College, man, they're, to me, that is the best team in the country. I have another gig where I do some anchoring for a national show. And the nights I'm in there, this won't surprise you or anyone that knows me, I kind of force the producer, hey, let's get a little college hockey in the show. I'll cut it. I'll edit it. I'll write it. Let's do it. And we've done a lot of Boston College, and that team is nasty. They're so good. All that skill, all that talent. But you and I know, Derek, all the time you have the skill doesn't mean you're going to win all the time. And there's going to be upsets. We just don't know who they are. So I don't think Tech will win that game. But again, I think if Pietola can be good and get them settled in, and let's remember, this is a team and a program, and it's an older team. Pietola came back with his brother, his twin Logan, to play with a younger brother, Chase. This is their third straight tournament. So it's not like they're going in their first time as a group. Their eyes aren't going to be wide open. They know what to expect. I know they got dusted pretty good last year, and it seemed like a couple of years ago they had a player got thrown out of the game early, and that kind of flipped that game. But they're a solid team, but I think BC wins, and they come out of that bracket out there. So, you know, I think the only one I didn't mention who I think comes out is the one in Missouri, and I'm going to go with Michigan State. I mean, they've beaten Michigan 4 out of 5 times, but Michigan State will get a handful from Western. There's a rivalry in our state where Western Michigan's a MAC school, and they've always kind of felt, you know, I don't think they tell you this, but there's always that kind of that little brother perception, you know, when they play Michigan or they play Michigan State. And those are marquee games for programs like Western, and they've won those games in the past. So, you know, I mean, I think some people might want to see Michigan play Western because of what Michigan did a couple of years ago when they backed out of the GLI. So a lot of storylines there, but I'm going to take State to come out of that one.
Final thing for Ben Holden, you know, these regionals, obviously North Dakota fans grumbling, 2,500 people. Do you Think it'll go back to on campus, you know, as far as the number one seeds hosting? I mean, is that a possibility, or is this kind of what we got? Because I think the host city thing, it kind of throws such a wrinkle in everything, right? I don't know how that's any different. What's your take on that as we finish up here?
Well, my take is they need to go back. I mean, you know, again, last night talking with Cappy and some other buddies and doing a little interacting with fans on social media. You know, I've done 11 or 12 regionals in my time, and the best regional in terms of the environment, the experience, the college hockey experience was 2008 in Madison, Wisconsin, when we had North Dakota, Princeton, Denver, Wisconsin. It was North Dakota, Wisconsin in the regional final. That is right up there as the loudest buildings I've ever done a game in or watched a game in. And the environment was top-notch. And to me, that's what it should be. I mean, you know, I've had regionals in the past. I remember 2 years ago in Albany, we were the first game of the tournament. We had Minnesota State playing Harvard in a noon puck drop. There's nobody there. And it's so much to ask for fans to have to travel. Fans like North Dakota will travel, of course. They travel better than any fan base in our sport. Minnesota, being geographically close, they'll travel. I think Michigan will travel what they can, and they've got such a big alumni base. There's Michigan alum all over the country, so that'll help. But, you know, it shouldn't be you go play your biggest games of the year should not be played in front of empty buildings or buildings with 500 people in them, you know?
Right. Well,
I think the four top teams, Derek, they've earned that. We can make this work. Look at the tournaments over the weekend. Look at Bemidji State, sold out. Raucous crowd. Fun Arena, sold out. Hockey East, sold out. Atlantic High, everyone was sold out. So it can be done, and I think we need to do it.
Well, my analogy is, if North Dakota State here in Fargo can host a playoff game in the FCS, there's no reason that in Division I hockey can't, because they earn a number one seed. Or South Dakota State, there's no reason you can't do it in hockey, too. So hypocritical. It's unbelievable. Well,
it is.
I figure since our late great friend Travis Dunn this time of year, I miss him so much to be talking about this. I mean, he'd be bugging you every week, so I thought I'd bug you this week. Ben Holden, thanks so much for your time as always, and we'll talk to you again very soon, okay?
Anytime, Derek. Great to hear your voice. Thanks for the invite. I enjoyed it, and I appreciate it.
Again, Ben Holden, longtime hockey broadcaster, been a friend of this show, friend of Hennessy on hockey and so many other shows. Travis Dunn, as we mentioned, who I miss so much during this time of year. I'd just do anything to get a phone line up to heaven to talk to that great man. So much fun coming up on Friday, too, as North Dakota is going to be taking on Michigan in that regional. We'll talk about the other side. What a game, Western Michigan and Michigan State. But 7 o'clock is the pregame show Friday night, right after our special Friday night edition of Couch Potato Radio. Yeah, that'll be coming up for you. More to come. He is Thomas Fox. He's producing. I'm Derek Hansen here on the Mighty 790, 104.7 KFGO.